Today, another batch of photographs has surfaced showing the abuse of prisoners inside Iraq. The Washington Post obtained pictures at least as appalling as the originals that came out last week. One photo shows a naked Iraqi on the floor of the Abu Ghraib prison. A female American soldier is holding a leash that's attached to the man's neck. The Post reports the picture was mixed in with what appeared to be tourist photos from Iraq, American soldiers posing in front of a mosque, riding a camel.
A U.S. Army report on the abuse can be found at NPR.org. To learn more about the legal background of this case, we've called in two lawyers who held senior positions in the U.S. military. Retired Major General Michael Nardotti was Judge Advocate General, the senior lawyer in the Army, and he's in our studios. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
And we've also placed a call to John Hudson. He's a retired Navy Rear Admiral who held many of the senior legal positions in the U.S. Navy. And good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
Gentlemen, in the office yesterday, we were trying to think of a precedent for this case. In your experience, do you know of anything that applies?
I am not aware of a case under similar circumstances. Certainly, instances of maltreatment of subordinates have occurred in the past, and I'm confident that there have been select cases of individual cases where there have been mistreatment of people in prison and detainees included, but nothing that has had the international political impact that we've seen here.
Admiral Hudson, which laws apply exactly in this case? The Uniform Code of Military Justice, but what else?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, there are several that could apply. The War Crimes Act of 1996 probably applies. You know, you've got one of the problems we have here is a sort of a confused command structure and the insertion within the command structure of civilian contractors and what are referred to as other governmental agencies, generally a euphemism for the CIA and agencies like that, so that it becomes very murky which laws apply. You know, there is federal statute that covers civilians accompanying the forces and probably covers these offenses, although the question of the jurisdiction of the court may exist, but the question of specifically which offenses occurred or were committed by individuals who are civilians or contractors who say things sort of like, give them a hard time tonight or... make sure they want to talk in the morning, that's a very difficult proposition, I think.
There might be somebody in this ambiguous situation who's entirely outside the law?
I don't think that there's going to be anybody that's entirely outside of the law. I think that we are probably going to be able to find a law that will cover them from a jurisdictional point of view. The question that remains in my mind is not so much the jurisdiction of the court, but rather what are the offenses of some of these people. I mean, it's clear for the soldiers who were there, the MPs and those people, but it's the people that are sort of in the shadowy background who are giving these sort of apparently vague directions with winks and elbows that everybody seemed to understand, but finding a specific offense may be somewhat more difficult. You know, does that amount to a war crime? Putting somebody on the floor with a leash around them naked, is the kind of humiliation and degradation that the Geneva Convention talks about. Saying make sure that they want to talk in the morning may or may not be.
General Nardotti, the International Red Cross has said today that it had been aware of the abuses at the Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq and repeatedly asked the U.S. to take corrective action. What is the role of the Red Cross in cases like this?
Well, certainly in situations like this where there's an armed conflict, they have the obligation to basically monitor the situation and to encourage the humane treatment consistent with the laws of armed conflict, with the Geneva Conventions that apply in situations like this, and certainly advise and pressure the participants in the conflict to conform their conduct to the standards of international law. Basically, you do that in the international environment and raise that issue not only to the participants but other interested nations that would be concerned, have concerns about compliance with international law.
But then it's the nation's responsibility, the U.S.'s responsibility to comply or not, to
That's
do something
correct.
About it.
That's correct.
I want to ask you both in turn here, General Nardotti first. In the Abu Ghraib case, obviously, there's overwhelming evidence of abuse. There are photographs, horrifying photographs that are everywhere, but this investigation is much wider. There have been several deaths. There have been several cases of abuse. There are investigations stretching across Iraq into Afghanistan. How do you go about investigating cases where the evidence is more murky?
Well, it's going to be a very challenging task. And while it is correct that there are incidents beyond what has received the attention in the last several days at Abu Ghraib prison, it appears that there may be that these are select different incidents that occurred across the theater at various times, and they need to be investigated as they would under any circumstances across a theater where you have allegations of crimes, of improper treatment, that they are very deliberately and carefully investigated to determine whether there is criminal liability, and perhaps more importantly, to make sure that where instances like that happen, that corrective measures are put in place immediately to prevent a recurrence of that conduct, and certainly prepare the troops that the organization is responsible in ways through training and leadership to make sure that that in the future, in difficult circumstances, the same thing does not happen again.
Admiral Hudson, if you get into a he said, she said situation or one prisoner saying one thing, the guard saying another, how do you determine who's telling the truth, very briefly?
Well, it's very difficult. You know, in this case, you've got pictures. What I think I would do if I were king of the mountain right now is convene a court of inquiry. You know, the failures here were fundamental, ranging from recruiting to training to supervision and the culture and the role of the contractors. And if all we do is examine the consequences and get into he said, she said kinds of debates in which specialists and PFCs are prosecuted, and we fail to address the fundamental failures, the more important failures, I think, in many respects, of training and supervision and all of that, we're running the risk of it happening again. And if it takes 3-4 stars to conduct a court of inquiry, and if you have to go out of the Army, you just simply do it because you have to get to ground truth.
Okay. Admiral Hudson, thanks very much for taking the time.
That's quite all right. I'm glad to do it.
John Hudson was a senior lawyer for the Navy. He's now dean of the Franklin Pierce Law School. And retired General Michael Nardotti, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Steve.